Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Of course, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. You can find past and archived programming there at veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
Of course, special guest on the show, one and only Dan Bays. I mean, Dan Bays is here. I was like, what's he going to do on the show? But we have a good show lined up for you today. And again, along the way, if you have any questions or comments, 806-745-5800, you can call or text, that's for sure.
Well, we are happy to have Dan Bays with us today. Going to be talking about the Wolfworth Farmers Market here locally, the year-round farmers market. For those of you who are maybe tuning in to hear Marty Robbins.
Yeah, this is from Old El Paso.
We always do Morley on first Mondays with Morley, but Morley was had a scheduling conflict, so he'll be with us next week to hear what he's learned over the past month. But we are really excited to talk about and promote another local food producing opportunity here. We've talked to a number of local folks who are trying to establish the local food movement, and we want to support all these folks because let thy food be thy medicine and thy medicine be thy food. We've quoted that many times. That was Hippocrates originally, but we preach that because we believe that, and we believe that because we've seen the testimonies of the sick people that get well when they simply learn how to nourish their body with the foods God intended us to nourish our bodies with. The medicine is in the foods. That's what I go and teach or give presentations to kindergartners and elementary school classes and older school grades going to Plainview next month. But that's as simple as it gets right there. God put the medicine in the food. And what people don't understand is the pharmaceutical companies will take out, they will go send their scientists out into the Amazon rainforest or wherever in nature, and they will find these plants and bring them back, and they will do a chemical analysis of these plants in this spectrum of different, it's like a fingerprint spectrography, but they will pull out just one chemical. Out of the 1,000 chemicals in one plant, they'll pull out one chemical, do a man-made mimic version of that, put a patent on it, and sell it as a drug. And the statins are a great example of that. Mevacor, the first statin, came out of this plant that grew mostly in the Amazon rainforest. Had some antifungal properties to it and had a lot of other beneficial properties to the plant. The whole plant with all the phytochemicals, thousands of phytochemicals. But when you just extract one particular part of that plant and only give that in a man-made mimic version of that, there's unintended consequences. CBD oil, we talked about a few weeks ago, same thing. The pharmaceutical company got the patent on that, but they extracted just a single cannabinoid. When there's many cannabinoids, hundreds of cannabinoids, and lots of phytochemicals in that hemp plant, but you extract just one thing, you're not going to have all the benefit of that. So these plants are amazing, and obviously we've talked a bunch about getting your fats in. Don't be scared of fats, but they need to be high quality. If you're going to eat animal products, they need to be grown. Those animals need to eat what God intended for them to eat. They need to be grown appropriately, and then that will be more nourishing food for you. Weston A. Price is kind of the founder of this thought process of eat like our ancestors did. And why did Weston A. Price say that? Because he observed on 14 different people groups around the world, those who ate like their traditional ancestors did, they were healthy. They didn't have tuberculosis. They didn't have chronic diseases of inflammation. They had less cavities, less cancer, less heart attack, less everything. And it was just that. It wasn't genetics. The people in these countries, the same genes that ate modern foods, processed grains and sugars, had the diseases. People that ate traditionally did not. And that's what we see in our clinic. I was just telling the guys in the studio before we went on air, 90% of what we do at Veritas Medical is not actually classified as the practice of medicine, which is defined as diagnosing and prescribing treatment. We teach, and the Latin root of physician is teacher. And that's what we do, is teach people and try to convince them that it's not their genetics, it's the epigenetics. Epi means above the genes, outside our genes. And mostly it's food and lifestyle. Stress is huge. We've talked about that. But so much of this is our modern food that's got us sick. So it's kind of a long intro, but I like to drive home the point of how important food is, and that you can't be well if you don't put good food into your mouth, period. You'll have to be managing your symptoms with pharmaceuticals or nutraceuticals. You can do tons of supplements and try to manage your high blood sugar and hypertension and headaches and insomnia and anxiety and everything else. There's lots of good natural remedies that you can pop those pills all day long too. But if you really want to be well, nourish the body with full spectrum, real food. Locally grown is preferred, because when it's picked a week early or 10 days early, because it's got to still look fresh when it's shipped 5,000 miles to your grocery store, you're losing a lot of those phytochemicals. A lot of the plant-based chemicals don't fully manifest in the vegetable or the berry or whatever until it's ripe enough to fall off the vine. So you really want to try to get vine-ripened food. That means local. You know, we can go into organic, we can go into biodynamic, all these different labels, but bottom line, there's ways around most of those things. You got to know your local farmer. You have to be able to trust him, go out to his farm, look how he's growing, look at his soil, take a shovel and get a scoop of his soil and see if there's earthworms in it. You know, get to know your local farmer where you can trust them and know where your food's coming from. What you're putting in your mouth is one of the most important things, and in your kid's mouth, one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. So, Dan, thank you. Always like to ask our guest, if you're willing to, you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got to be sitting in this chair right here talking about farmers markets. That's not a typical kind of job description when you're filling out your high school surveys of what career you might want to do. So talk to us a little bit about how you got here, and then we'll talk about the local Wolfworth farmers market.
Well, I'm pleased to be here, Dr. Ben. Thank you for having me on the show today. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that the local food movement is alive and well in Lubbock, Texas. We just need more people to go out and buy the products that are available. And it's I don't know if it's a laziness issue or if it's just we've been so attuned to going to your local supermarket to pick up your food. That's the problem. That's how we were raised. That's what I did when I was a kid. I worked in the supermarket when I was a kid because that's how you got your food. And I've learned a lot over time about not doing that. Now, the reason I'm here today speaking for the Wolfworth Market is because I'm the insurance guy for the market, and I believe in it, and I'm the insurance guy for about 27 markets across the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. So, and a number of the vendors as well, because I believe in this cottage food industry, and I believe in these people, and I believe in what they do. My personal story, I eat a lot of protein and greens. People that follow me on Facebook see what I cook, and they see where it comes from. 90% of my food spend comes from the market. Now, it may not be the Wolfworth Market. Generally, it is right now because it's the only one open. I've been known to hit 4 markets in a day because that's where I get my lean proteins. That's where I get my good, fresh, local vegetables. And then I pick up, you know, some local nuts and things like that too. So there's a nice variety of local products I can buy that I know are going to be better for me. Mm-hmm. And I know are going to contribute to my health. I'm a type 2 diabetic. I came very close to dying with ketoacidosis. Mm-hmm. And basically kind of decided I better clean up my act. And I was fortunate to have a nutritionist down in Austin. She was actually the nutritionist for Whole Foods. And she, you know, you go to all these dietitians, right? And they say, well, okay, you need protein, the pack of a car, like the size of a pack of cards in your hand, 4 ounces of protein. Whatever. They give you this list of all this stuff, count all these carbs, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. She was so good. She gave me a list of foods I could eat and a list of foods I could not eat. Mm-hmm. She said, this is pretty simple. Eat this, don't eat this.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference, and it started me down the path. And then I started going to the farmer's market to get the good, fresh product, and that even stepped it up another level. Right. So 65 pounds later, I'm still type 2 diabetic. I still deal with a little bit of a diabetes issue. I'm not on injectable insulin anymore. I am not on any of those other things that they have you take. I am on metformin, and I know that you think that that's not such a terrible drug. It's one right. of the better ones.
Yep.
And I was on Farxiga, which made me very nervous, actually, but it was actually helping with the numbers. And 90% of that's because I don't do the right thing and get off the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
If I would get off the sugar, I probably wouldn't be on anything right now.
Yep. No, you're right, 100%.
It's a struggle.
It's a drug that sugar is, and it will kick off the dopamine, which is the, give me more, that pleasure hormone in the brain. And but congratulations on all you've done. Did you mention the weight loss?
Yeah, 65 pounds I've lost, so that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got married in February, and I went to Men's Warehouse to get my tux adjusted because my wife was – or fiance at the time, wife now – was saying, you need to take your tux in and make sure it fits. And I'm like, well, I just did it a year ago. It's fine.
Right.
And I went in there, and I put it on, and they basically said they were going to have to reconstruct the entire tux. The pants were a size 43. I wear a 36 now.
Wow.
So that's a huge difference in size.
Yeah.
And a lot of people here in the community were telling me, because I do all the ribbon cuttings and things here in the community, so a lot of the chamber ambassadors that I hang out with, and they're like, dude, you're falling out of your clothes, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, but they're comfortable, so
right.
I'm good. But now I've got a lot of 36s because my wife has been pretty clear about saying you need to get some smaller pants.
Yeah. That's the one negative side effect of getting healthy and losing weight is you got to go spend money on a new wardrobe.
This is absolutely true. That is the downside, but you know, it is a good feeling knowing that, you know, I've got a 7-inch smaller waist and maybe even 8 inches now compared to what it was at my peak.
Wow. So that's awesome. Well, you know, some people would say, well, that's great, but you know, I could go to whatever grocery store and just get the food there, which I mean there's options there at local grocery stores. But what made you go even further, take that next step, not just eating healthy and eating off the list from Whole Foods, but what made you go to farmers markets?
Well, I truly believe in shopping local and eating local. That's something that I believe in just in general.
Right.
25 years living in San Francisco Bay Area will kind of do that to you. You tend to move, you know, toward that natural, healthy slant.
Right.
But that being said, you know, I probably do more of it here in Lubbock than I ever did.
Really?
Because it's so available here. And I sought it out. The key is you have to seek it out and realize that it is available here.
Yeah.
There's such good vendors in this area. I get my eggs. I get my chicken. I get, I buy Holy Cow beef. I have for a long time. I like that grass-fed, grass-finished beef.
Mm-hmm.
I get tons of different produce, all from local people that I know. And I'm a little bit cautious. I mean, there's still a few of the vendors that you want to watch because they may not be the healthiest produce. So you look at that. You got to be careful.
Right. Well, and we're always talking about mineralization of the body, and that demineralization is one of the primary root causes of disease. And the minerals come from the soil, but the soil's got to be healthy to put those minerals. Really, it's the bacteria and the fungi in the soil have to be there. To allow the minerals to be able to be put into the plant. And that's where getting to know your farmer is so important. I mean, anybody can, I guess, try to grow something or come to a farmer's market with something. But if you get to know that vendor and really get to know how are they managing their soil, then the nutrient content of that food will be a lot better.
One of my big advantages is I sell farm insurance. So I actually go out and go on all these farms, and I sit down with the people, and I know what they're doing. I know how they're growing things. I know what their greenhouse is doing and how they do things there.
Right.
I know, you know, about how they're planting things. I mean, I see what they do, and I know them intimately because I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, 99% of the vendors at the market are all about producing a good product. And really, most of them grow organically. They may not be certified organic, but most of them will try to grow organically because in the long run, it's actually cheaper to do it.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. That's what a lot. And we've talked to a few ag folks over the past month or two. The input cost on a conventionally grown, not just cotton, but anything, if you're having to put a lot of inputs as far as fertilizer and pesticide and herbicide and whatever, it becomes not doable long term. Let's talk a little more about specifics at the Wolfworth Farmers Market. It's year round, you mentioned. And What are the hours? What days? All that kind of stuff.
So year-round, every Saturday from 10 to 2, you can go to the market. You know, it can be blustery cold out there in the winter, but guess what? They've got some nice buildings out there now. So it's really a good situation where you can go out, and most of the vendors now are in these little wood sheds that are out there. They have their own little stall, as it were. And then, of course, as the weather gets better, they'll have tents out in front of them, and you'll be more of a tent operation. But right now, it's kind of a wood structure. Plus, the market itself has its own structure, which has 20 vendors in it. So there's a wealth of availability every Saturday from 10 to 2. And then coming soon, there'll be a Tuesday evening market that'll start in May from 4 to 7. That's very important to the local producers, because that midweek market is critical for them to have a place to take the freshest produce,
right,
rather than having to wait to harvest another week.
Right.
So that's a big deal. And that Tuesday evening market, really, I think last year it didn't catch on as well as it should have, but we just need to get the word out that people, hey, go out and buy some good fresh produce midweek, and it's
right
there.
Yeah. That's awesome. And one thing I've noticed when you buy this local fresh produce is it tends to last longer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially like the lettuce. It seems like lettuce I get at the store, if I'm not careful or if I don't store it just the right way, I mean, it's getting slimy real quick.
Well, you can buy those green bags and all that stuff, but then you're just investing more for something you could have bought at the market and not have to do all of that.
Yeah, and it just tends to last, it seems like, even weeks. Sometimes I go back and some of that lettuce is still fresh.
Well, it didn't travel from California.
Exactly.
You know, from the Salinas Valley of California or from down in Yuma, Arizona, where most of the lettuces are grown.
Right.
That stuff travels a long way, which means it was harvested and took a week to get here. And you just lost a week of your time.
Right. Well, I don't know if we should. Yeah, we've got time before the break. Can you speak to some of the, and I don't know if we can name them or if it matters, but some of the vendors or maybe the variety of things you can find there at the market, just so people understand we're not just talking, you know, a couple of different vegetables or something. Can you go through maybe some of all the different varieties of things that are available?
Absolutely. You know, and I buy most of them. So, you know, you've got six different meat vendors. Those meat vendors are selling, you've got grass-fed, grass-finished. You've got some range-type animals, which are, of course, going to be grass-fed, grass-finished. And then you've got some grass-fed, grain-finished product as well. Probably not as healthy, but still a good product. So you've got all your proteins, pretty much anything you want. One thing you probably won't find out there typically would be turkey. That doesn't seem to be in this area. But, of course, there's two full-time chicken vendors. And then there's a couple of others that do chicken as a sideline product. And then you've got two full-time beef vendors.
Are we talking whole chickens, or can people go out and get chicken breast, or what exactly is that on the chickens?
That's a good question. Right now it's predominantly whole chickens, but cuts will be coming. There is one vendor out there currently doing cuts, but they go fast.
Right.
So you got to get there early to make sure you can get some cuts. But generally speaking, it just takes longer to do the cuts.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're paying more if you do the cuts because basically you buy two breasts, that pays for the bird.
Yeah, and really you're missing out on a lot of the nutrients if you're just doing the cuts, which I know, I mean, convenience, in certain recipes you just want to do that. But that whole bird, and that's another thing we got to get back to, learning how to cook.
Yeah.
Learning how to make a bone broth. I mean, you put a whole bird in there and get the bones and the cartilage and all that. There's so much nourishment in that bone broth. And, of course, we've talked organ meats and giblets and all that before and the benefits of that. But, okay, so the chicken, goat. Is there a goat there?
There's goat there. It is not prevalent, but it is there. The other thing, of course, lamb. I used to buy and eat a lot of lamb. Which the family's not real happy about that. They're not big lamb fans, but I have a great spice that I use on it, which is an Ethiopian spice that is just perfect on lamb, and I'll put that as a flavoring tool for my vegetables.
Right.
So I'll do the ground lamb, and then I'll take either Swiss chard or mustard greens or collard greens, something like that, and I'll put that in there. And then with that spice, it just makes it all taste delicious,
yeah,
in my opinion. But the wife and family are not big on the lamb.
Well, when you're eating for health like you are, that to me, I really think it changes the taste buds.
Yeah.
And obviously getting off processed foods and all the flavor enhancers, MSG, and all the chemicals they put in there to make you addicted to processed food. That's part of it. But the mindset of this food is what's going to heal me. And this, you know, using food as medicine, that just the mindset shift, I think, really causes the taste buds to shift a little too. And you're more open to and learning how to use the different spices. I mean, really, people have forgotten how to cook. They've forgotten how to use spices and how to use, you know, fats even to cook in. Just the traditional cooking techniques, basically. What about goat milk? Is there anyone out there doing that?
Or
dairy in general? Speak to that.
There's not really a dairy presence out at the Wolfworth market currently. Goat milk you can find at a couple of the other markets, one in particular downtown. That one, and you get raw goat milk. That's one of the few areas where you can actually get some raw milk. But typically, sometimes they bring it down, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you're better off just getting that from the local producer, because it's a little bit easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. Raw milk is still anathema to the government, mm-hmm. Either goat or cow. They don't like it. They're against it. As an insurer, I have a problem insuring it. Mm-hmm. It's an issue. Yeah. So, I mean, and raw milk probably is quite good for you. I'm not a big raw milk guy myself, but I don't drink milk as it is.
Right.
So I don't do milk because it's a big inflammatory for me.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, oftentimes dairy will be. That's a whole other show. We've actually done a show on raw milk. I'd encourage the listeners to go look in the archive on that. There are a lot of health benefits to that. But conventional industrialized dairy, definitely I stay away from. What else is out there? I think you mentioned food trucks and in the fall they do a pumpkin patch, but so there's just other stuff they do out there.
Yeah, you can make a day of it, right? You can go out there. I spend probably, of course, I go to every single vendor and I know them all and I talk to all of them.
Right.
So it takes me probably an hour and a half to 2 hours while I'm out there to shop. You don't have to spend that much time, but if you bring the kids, it can be a family event. There's a lot of fun stuff. There's a sandbox out there for the kids. There's quite a few things. Pumpkin patch is a lot of fun in that season of the year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the folks out at the market try to make it appealing to the family. They have all kinds of events on a regular basis where, you know, they'll give away hot dogs and things, which is probably not the healthiest thing in the world. But
well, if there's the right kind of meat.
Yeah.
You mentioned, or I have a list here actually, some bakery options, some bread options. You know, a lot of us are low carb or no carb kind of thing. And I want to just stress a point here. Americans eat so much carb, processed carb in particular. This processed flour, plus there's sugar in it. And processed flour just jacks your blood sugar up so high. Not to mention, 80% of the wheat is sprayed with Roundup right before they harvest it. So you're getting the effects of the glyphosate, which that kills your gut bacteria. It opens up your tight junctions, causes leaky gut. It chelates your minerals. That's a whole nother show. We've got to be careful with just throwing grains totally out the window.
Yeah.
Again, looking back, like I like to do with Weston A. Price 100 years ago when he traveled the world, people ate some grains, but it was a totally different grain. It was more of an ancient grain. It was ground right there, right before they bake it. So it had all the nutrition in it. It wasn't devoid of all the good nutrients. It wasn't hybridized. It wasn't sprayed, all that kind of stuff. A lot of the traditional recipes will soak or sprout the grains to liberate some of those nutrients and make them less pro-inflammatory. So there's a way to do carb, and actually carb cycling is kind of the term, but where you're not in a rut of just eating the same thing all the time, you can eat some healthy carb from time to time. So I know there are some options out there for breads. Is that right?
There are. There's some really good product out there. There's your traditional bakeries, and then there's also a keto bakery. She does such a business out there. They come in. She makes fat bombs,
yeah,
which you'll eat, and then she makes all kinds of muffins and some of the sweeter stuff that you might you know, have a craving for, mm-hmm. zucchini muffins or something. Mm-hmm. Just makes a lot of great products that are very keto-friendly. It's a keto-only bakery.
Right.
So she's just making a wonderful thing. And you get there – if you don't get there early, you're not going to get her product because there's a line of 8 or 10 people standing there when they open.
Yeah.
So really a good one there. And then, of course, there's a couple of people that do just some basic dairy-free and gluten-free as well. I had heard not too long ago, because we have these kinds of conversations out at the market, that probably the gluten intolerance issue is less gluten intolerance than it is the diphosphate issue. That's a bigger issue, you know, the latest studies, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of pieces to that story. I was reading a study, 94 different strains of gut bacteria, the good bacteria in our gut, 94 different strains they've identified so far, there's probably more than that, that break gluten down. So if you have those bacteria in your gut, you're going to break that gluten down. If you don't have them, obviously you're not going to break the gluten down. And gluten is a protein that can trigger your immune system to go into overdrive. So pro-inflammatory, we would call that. So if you're missing that gut flora, that could be an issue for you. And a lot of us have compromised gut flora because the way we have lived and eaten in America, mostly all the antibiotics we've taken. And the gluten today, modern gluten versus ancient gluten, the original wheat, einkorn wheat, 14 chromosomes versus today's wheat, I think it's 46 chromosomes. And that new genetic information is a whole new – it's coding for new gluten proteins. So the original gluten, I call God's gluten, doesn't even show up on the doctor's gluten sensitivity test that a doctor runs. It's all modern gluten that's causing the issue. But if you spray these plants with different herbicides, but glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup, is the number one thing, that has been shown – to open up the tight junctions, and then that gluten is allowed to cross the barrier of your gut wall and into your immune system. So yeah, that's there's a lot to consider there. There is a way to eat gluten safely is what I'm getting at, I guess. Okay, I think we're up against a break. We will come right back and talk more with Dan Bays about the Wolfworth Farmers Market. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome into You're the Cure. Back with us, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Dan Bays, and Wolfworth Farmers Market here on the show. Check out the website, VeritasMedical.com, for past and archived programs. You can certainly go there and check it out, VeritasMedical.com.
All right, we are back with Dan Bays talking about local food production, and I want all you listeners to go out there and support it. We need these local guys to stay in business. We need them to thrive, and we need more young farmers to go this direction. If we're going to turn around this healthcare crisis that we're all experiencing, I don't want to get into politics and universal healthcare and all that stuff, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't care if it's a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, Hillary Care, Obamacare, Trump Care, or any other care, it's all going to go bankrupt. There's no way you can medicate yourself out of something you ate yourself into. You've got to eat your way out of that. So the whole healthcare system's going to go down the toilet, or we're all going to go down with it. The only way that thing works is if you have enough healthy people paying in and fewer sick people that need services. And now it's reversed. We've got more sick people that need services, not enough healthy ones paying in. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse because younger and younger, younger ages, we're seeing disease. I mean, 46% of kids under 18 have a chronic disease now. At our clinic, I was just looking at our new patient schedule for the week. The majority of the patients coming in this week as new patients are under age 30. So we're not in just this old person disease mode anymore. So all these ways to pay for healthcare aren't going to work because we're not addressing the root cause, and the root cause is rooted in, we call it scientifically, epigenetics. But it's all these things, mostly food, the chemicals that are in the food, the good chemicals, the what God put in the food. Turn on the good genes and keep the bad genes turned off. It's that simple. Stress will turn on the bad ones, turn off the good ones. Dr. Day, I've quoted him often, and I actually got him on the docket now to interview later in the month, so y'all be looking for that interview. Dr. Day's a cardiologist in New York. Young fella, was sick. I think hypertension and cholesterol and anxiety or depression and reflux, and he was on like 8 prescriptions. And then he had a moment where of clarity where he thought, man, maybe it's my very stressful cardiology lifestyle, running and gunning all day long and eating hospital food all day long. And so he decided to look into that. And in his study, he discovered these blue zones around the world. That's areas, people groups around the world that tend to live in. There's a per capita more centurions, more people living into their hundreds in these groups. And there's a 10 or 12 of these zones around the world. And so one of the bluest of the blue zones is in China. And so Dr. Day went to China and he went to this village. The nickname is the Longevity Village. And he studied, he lived there or stayed there for a few weeks and studied what these folks eat and drink and what time they go to bed and what time do they get up and how much exercise and, you know, all this diet and lifestyle stuff. And he documented it, wrote a book about it. The book's called Longevity Plan. Interesting thing he also did, though, was draw blood on these folks because he wanted to look for the genetic predispositions. We know certain genes will predispose us. If these genes get turned on, then you'll get Alzheimer's. If these genes get turned on, you get cancer, heart disease. So he looked for these genes, and these folks had the genes, but they did not have the corresponding disease. And really, that's the whole point of his whole book, is yes, the genes are there. Genes are full of information, but you can keep that gene, the bad ones, keep that book on the bookshelf. Don't open it up and read it. And it's the right food and environment and low stress that keeps the bad ones turned off. Another interesting part of his book, though, not just the food and clean water and clean living, but the sense of community and just this more simpler way to live. And that's one thing that with farmers markets, I think everyone, you know, you can run to your local grocery store, run in, run out, and swipe your card and never get off your iPhone the whole time. But something about going to a local community gathering, like a farmer's market, and getting to know the vendors and having a conversation and strolling around in the sunshine and breathing the fresh air and listening to people's stories and how did, you know, just like with Dan and his diabetes and why are you coming out here and, or the farmers, why are you growing it this way? Why are you different? And just that sense of there's something bigger than yourself and you're a part of this kind of a movement back to how it used to be. I was talking to a doctor friend of mine who she got married and they went on their honeymoon to, I think it was Scotland. And one of the biggest things she noted was there were no chain restaurants. I mean, they went out in the countryside. It was all local mom and pop, everything, not just the food, but everything. That was back in a simpler time when you went to the meat market and you went to the bakery and you grew your own garden. Everyone had a garden back in the day. And not just for the nostalgia of it, but for the health benefits of it. We need to get back to that. So a farmer's market is more than just a place to go grocery shop. It's a place to support this movement back to health, really, is what we're talking about. And not just your physical nutrients going in your body, but relationships. And time spent outside in the sunshine. We talk about structured water all the time. What's the sun rays hitting your skin that structure the water inside your skin? There's so much benefit to just this simple act of being outside, sunshine, interaction, fresh air, talk to your neighbor. And that's part of the longevity plan, that book. Dr. Day mentioned it, that these folks, the older folks, he interviewed one farmer, he's like 110 years old, and the guy said, I feel like I'm in my prime. And Dr. Day's opinion was one of the main factors for this guy to be living still so healthily and active and working out in the rice field was his sense of community, belonging. He had a purpose. He had a reason for living, really. So some of that thought process and just sense of being a part of something bigger than yourself, I think is another good reason to invest your time and your money supporting these local folks and going out to the farmers market. So just another opinion of mine. Let's get back into the farmers market, though. One thing we didn't get to yet, we were talking off air. You know, some people will tell me, well, organic or trying to buy healthy food is too expensive. And then I actually challenge them to go do that. And also consider fasting from time to time. I mean, you throw a few fasts in a week, you just saved your money, you know, your food budget because you're not eating. But also when you're filling yourself with nutritious food, you're not hungry in 30 minutes or 2 hours. When all you're eating is processed carb and sugar, you get the insulin spike, your blood sugar crashes, you're hungry again. You've got to constantly eat every 2 hours. When you're filling the body with nutrition, not just calories, empty calories, then that hunger can go away. When you don't avoid the high-quality fat, fat is what keeps you feeling full for hours and hours and hours and keeps you satisfied. So when you tweak the way you eat, you don't have to eat as often. And we've talked about the benefits of fasting too. So literally, these are ways to balance the budget where you can spend more money on food. But guys, you're going to spend it somewhere. You're going to spend it on your prescriptions and your doctor visits and your co-pays and health insurance premiums going up and all that stuff. Or you can spend it on your food. When I had my financial planner look at our household budget, he was shocked at how low my healthcare budget is. For our whole family, six kids, my wife and I, we spend almost nothing on healthcare. But he was also shocked at how big our food budget was. And of course, we have six kids. But it's because we also choose to spend our dollars on high-quality nutrition, not just the cheapest thing we can get. We've traded, in America in general, we've traded cost and convenience for our health. So change your mindset. Understand food's important. Be willing to spend a little more time. Slow down. Say no to a few things. Work it into your schedule to drive out to a farmer's market and spend 30 minutes or an hour or two even. And enjoy yourself and get high-quality nutrition too. But for those who really are on a super tight budget, and we're talking folks that are even using the SNAP card, which is basically the modern kind of food stamp program, or WIC, the Women, Infant, Children budget, he was shocked at how low my healthcare budget is. For our whole family, six kids, my wife and I, we spend almost nothing on healthcare. But he was also shocked at how big our food budget was. And of course, we have six kids, but it's because we also choose to spend our dollars on high-quality nutrition, not just the cheapest thing we can get. We've traded, in America in general, we've traded cost and convenience for our health. So change your mindset. Understand food's important. Be willing to spend a little more time. Slow down. Say no to a few things. Work it into your schedule to drive out to a farmer's market and spend 30 minutes or an hour or two even. And enjoy yourself and get high-quality nutrition too. But for those who really are on a super tight budget, and we're talking folks that are even using the SNAP card, which is basically the modern kind of food stamp program, or WIC, the Women, Infant, Children program, for those who are on low socioeconomic standards, the farmers market will has a place for these folks too, right?
Absolutely. You know,
it was. And of course, we have six kids, but it's because we also choose to spend our dollars on high-quality nutrition, not just the cheapest thing we can get. We've traded, in America in general, we've traded cost and convenience for our health. So change your mindset. Understand food's important. Be willing to spend a little more time. Slow down. Say no to a few things. Work it into your schedule to drive out to a farmer's market and spend 30 minutes or an hour or two even. And enjoy yourself and get high-quality nutrition too. But for those who really are on a super tight budget, and we're talking folks that are even using the SNAP card, which is basically the modern kind of food stamp program, or WIC, the Women, Infant, Children program, for those who are on low socioeconomic standards, the farmers market will has a place for these folks too, right?
Absolutely. You know, probably the one thing that the government has done right is...
But it's because we also choose to spend our dollars on high-quality nutrition, not just the cheapest thing we can get. We've traded, in America in general, we've traded cost and convenience for our health. So change your mindset, understand food's important, be willing to spend a little more time, slow down, say no to a few things, work it into your schedule to drive out to a farmer's market and spend 30 minutes or an hour or two even, and enjoy yourself and get high quality nutrition too. But for those who really are on a super tight budget, and we're talking folks that are even using the SNAP card, which is basically the modern kind of food stamp program, or WIC, the Women, Infant, Children program, for those who are on low socioeconomic standards, the farmer's market will has a place for these folks too, right?
Absolutely. You know, probably the one thing that the government has done right is they've actually said, look, if you're on these programs, it would be to your benefit to have healthier food. And typically, you know, your 49-cent mac and cheese is not going to do the job. So, you know, with the SNAP program, you can come out to the market, you can run your card, get $20 in SNAP, and then you'll get 20 of these coins that they will give you for produce, and you can actually earn money and buy good food with that money. So for $20 that you take out of your SNAP budget, you get $40 worth of good, fresh, healthy food. You can't go wrong with that. And yeah, you probably could have got, you know, 20 or so, that'd be 40 boxes of mac and cheese, but you're just not doing the right thing for your kids. So that's the difference. And then, of course, the WIC program, you can use your WIC vouchers for fresh produce and cheese and things of that nature. So definitely an opportunity there to use those things to provide your kids with healthier food. And that's going to make a huge difference to them long term.
Oh, yeah. It is the number one most beneficial thing you could do for your kids. Put nutrition in their mouths. My wife might debate that, though. A swat to the hind. He's pretty good occasionally. Was there a text, Wade?
Or no.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I did want to say, Dr. Ben, that we haven't told folks how to get to the Wolfworth Market,
yes,
so let's let them know how
location,
to do that.
Yes.
Every Saturday, 10 to 2, and then starting in May on the Tuesday evenings, all you got to do is jump on 82nd Street, drive out to Wolfworth West. Just keep going. You'll cross 179. The high school will be on your left.
Friendship High School.
Friendship High School will be right there. Then you'll get to the ball fields, which are right behind there. That's the practice fields. Right across the street. That's where the market is.
Okay.
You'll see it. You can't miss it. There's a big chicken. So, you know, El Gallo is keeping watch over the market. And you cannot miss seeing that. All those buildings on the right-hand side. Cool little market. And then, of course, WolfworthFarmersMarket.com. And Facebook and Instagram at Wolfworth Farmers Market. So there's lots of ways to figure out what's going on. If you're on Facebook, they do a really good job of putting out, you know, a vendor of the week, and then also, you know, here's who's going to be at the market, that type of thing, so that you can get an idea of what's available.
Okay, great. How long has the market been there?
The market opened, I think, November of 2017. So it's kind of a latecomer, and it opened because other markets were closed, and there was nowhere for the vendors to sell their products.
Right.
None.
Yeah.
So as of November 17, there's been somebody year-round that you could go in and get your produce from.
Okay.
And your proteins. Right. And, of course, the craft vendors, too. We don't want to leave those guys out. It's not to your health, but it might be for your health from de-stressing. There's a lot of
exactly.
Cool crafts out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I did want to mention, we kind of touched on it with the dairy. Dairy in particular, raw milk in particular, it's a flashpoint of controversy, a lot of politicians, a lot of legal issues there. And there is someone, you mentioned off air on the phone yesterday, and we'll have to get this person on the radio to talk to her, but who's lobbying and trying to help these local producers and farmers markets to be able to provide local grown food, raw milk in particular, I guess, from a legal standpoint. What was that?
That's the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance, FARFA.
FARFA.
For short. Right. I'm a member of FARFA myself. I believe in that goal and that cause. And they are lobbying right now in the Texas State Legislature because there's a lot of stuff happening in the legislature right now. We're in a legislative session, and they're trying to get some things passed and blocked with regard to cottage food and local farmers.
Okay. FARFA. Can people go on and join that or donate, or how do they support that?
Yeah, they can join it. They can donate to it. I have a little corporate membership. I think it was like $300 a year. It's nothing for a corporate membership, and really it's worthwhile. It's a good use of your funds. If you've got some extra funds and you believe in local food and taking care of the local market, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. And again, just going out to the farmers market and interacting with the folks out there, you'll start to learn all this, how to support these guys, how to get involved even politically if need be, even if it's just donating. You can get raw milk. I mean, you can get that in this area. It may be a little trickier to go to a market to get it, but you go to the market, you can start to understand where to go and how to go and what are all the options, and get connected, basically, is what I'm getting at. Okay, well, I think we've about covered most of what we need to cover here. Any closing thoughts or final thoughts? One thing on the of a little printout sheet here, greenhouses and tunnels, year-round produce vendors growing in greenhouses and tunnels. I understand greenhouses.
A tunnel looks like a greenhouse, except the product is grown in the ground. So in a greenhouse, it's grown in containers. In a tunnel, it's grown in the ground underneath the cover. Gotcha. That's the difference.
Okay, and there's some local folks doing that.
Absolutely. There's some real good local folks doing that. And then, of course, there's a 50,000-square-foot greenhouse in Seminole, Texas, which is where I get my tilapia.
Right.
They use the tilapia it's an aquaponic greenhouse, so they're fertilizing their fish, or their fish are fertilizing their produce. And then anybody that follows me on Facebook saw what I picked up at the market last week, which was these Swiss chard and mustard or collard green leaves that were about 3 feet long.
Wow.
From that, and they're beautiful, fresh, local product.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can get the tilapia as a side product. And I'll tell you right now, I don't buy tilapia at a restaurant.
Yep.
I don't buy tilapia at a store. I'll buy this tilapia all day because it is good quality and delicious fish.
Clean tilapia.
And it's available at the market.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, I mean, you said earlier in the show, coming out of San Francisco, you learned to kind of shop this way, but you do more here because there's such a variety of things here. That was kind of a shocking statement. I don't think people realize the opportunity here to get this kind of high quality in a wide variety of foods.
And reasonably affordable. It's not that much more expensive because you're bypassing all of those impulse buy aisles at the store.
Right.
So you're getting the product that you went to the place to get, right?
Yep.
You go to the market to get your food, yep, and you don't get hit with all the impulse buys.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how those grocery stores strategically place the various products that,
yep,
catch your eye, and I accidentally grabbed 5 extra things and $25 extra dollars worth of stuff. Okay, well, awesome. Wade, any closing thoughts or final comments?
No, I think it's bottom line is that we continue to say it over and over again, and that is your food is your medicine. That's the point. And I think that's the big takeaway here. And again, it may be a little bit more expensive, or it may cause you to, I mean, heck, we're known in our family to drive around at 3 different types of, for example, we may go to Market Street and pick up a few items, and we may over natural grocers and the farmers markets all in combination.
Yeah.
That's just the way we do it. It takes a little bit of planning and strategy to do that.
Right.
But it's something that over the last couple of years, we've been very dedicated at doing.
Yeah. Well, delivery might be something to put on a future agenda. If there's some way to deliver this food, I think that,
yeah,
the convenience factor is such a big deal.
Anymore, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that'll be a future thought. Okay. Well, Dan, thanks for coming in. The Wolfers Farmers Market year-round, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Saturday. And then in May, Tuesday evenings from 4 to 7 p.m. Check them out on wolferthfarmersmarket.com, Facebook and Instagram. They're on there, too. Get out there and support these guys and gals. We love local food producers. We want to see more of it. My goal is to put Veritas Medical out of business, and Veritas ag maybe will be the long-term thing or something.
Good
but
idea.
That is the goal. People be healthy and not need a doctor, and it starts with this food. So thank you all for doing what you do. Please come back anytime. We'd love to support you.
Good. We appreciate you having us on today. And, you know, the Wolf Earth Market is near and dear to my heart. I don't work for the market. I just happen to talk for them. And it's just my pleasure to do so. And a lot of those vendors out there are friends and clients, and they're just good people. And you should support them. They're doing a service for our community.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Dan Bays, we appreciate both of you for being with us on today's broadcast. Don't forget to check out VeritasMedical.com for archived programs. Check it out, VeritasMedical.com.